Hi everyone, welcome to Scalpels and Tequila, a Grey's Anatomy recap podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ayla.
And I'm Tamsin. And we decided that, look, we are now actually at this point where we've started recording our fifth season, sixth season. So we're kind of, it depends on how you're listening to this. Potentially, we're coming to you from the future. We had a bit of an epiphany today and we thought, wow, we've actually done so much on this podcast and we've come so far and we've got so many new listeners. Maybe we need to say hi again, which led to you listening to our very, very first episode where we introduce ourselves and why we're doing this show. And what did you discover?
We were baby podcasters. I definitely did not have a very good microphone. We didn't really understand editing, and we didn't know what our podcast would grow to be.
Totally.
And I don't think that that first welcome episode is a great representation of the podcast that we have now.
Yeah, so I guess we're doing like a re-record welcome, hello, this is us. And then warning that if you do go back to the very beginning, I mean, look, our editing wasn't as good, our equipment wasn't as good, and
We were figuring
we're
out.
figuring things out, and that's what you
Yeah.
hear, and that's fine. And I'm not judging us. I just also want to be able to give people a introduction and a welcome to like where we're at now. It is represents.
So, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Scalpels and Tequila. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that dawned out of the necessity to talk shit about Grey's Anatomy, but
In a loving way, in a loving way. Like, we love this show.
we developed more into a reflection on society at the time because we got back into this just expecting to have a cute casual chat and realized some very troubling things that were going on in the early thousands.
I mean, I think we all expected that these things were going on, but it's.
Were you expecting to hate Derek Shepherd?
No, this is the things that are surprising. I was not expecting to hate Derek Shepherd. I was not expecting to realize that all of these women are villainized when they are not the villains. I was not expecting to go, oh, every single man in this is terrible. I was not expecting to be like, oh, Burke and Christina, this is toxic as fuck. Like, we swear in this podcast. Sorry, just.
So tell us, Tamsin, where your love for Grey's Anatomy came from and how long you have been invested in this
So
show. We're so
I
surprised
watched
now.
the very first episode of Grey's Anatomy when it came on, like came on air. There was ads for it, as a way of bonding with my mum. So my mum was the one who said, "Hey, there's this new show. Let's watch it together." It premiered on a Sunday night, and she kind of chose it to be our like mother-daughter show, I guess. And I don't think what I was expecting to love it, really. I was just, oh, okay, yeah, all right, I'll watch it.
Because no one in our generation really liked ER and just sexy doctors were very much on mum's radars.
Totally. And I loved it. And I watched it every Sunday with her until I moved out of home, and she kind of stopped watching it. And I never stopped. And it's 19 years later, and I've been watching it for more than half my life. This has been like a weekly investment of my time. I know these characters so well. I feel like they're my family. I feel like I've gone through so much. It's almost like longer than any other relationship, apart from family that I've had. It's bizarre to think about how much of my life and this show has connected. That's not really the right word, but like it's been a part of my life for so long.
Well, you grew up with this show. So
Totally.
looking back on it now, we're like, oh, I remember exhibiting those behaviors and like, oh, I wonder where we were taught about the, you know, pulling piggytails means he likes you.
It's also like this interesting phenomenon of this show being going on for so long, but it's not really on mainstream TV in Australia anymore.
A big part of our podcast is cats interrupting as well. And
can you see mine in the background?
Screen is blurred and her cat just keeps occasionally showing up.
It, because Grey's Anatomy kind of stopped being so prominent and
in Australia,
there just isn't very many people that I can talk about this show with at all. So it is so rare when I meet someone and just happen to bring it up and they turn around and they go, oh my God, I love Grey's Anatomy too, which is what happened with us.
So we met working together at a restaurant that shall not be named. And I think it was a couple of weeks after we started working together, I found out that Tamsin had two cats, one of which had a very special name that clued me into the fact that this woman might be someone I can share some stories with.
My cat is called Dr. McDreamy. He just goes by Dreamy for short.
Or Dreams.
Or Dreams. But yes. That's kind of the biggest clue that people realize that I'm a Grey's Anatomy fan is when they ask me about my cats. And then all of a sudden we were like, oh, I can talk to someone about this show. Like someone else is watching it every week. How did you first get into Grey's though?
I think very much the same as you. I started watching back in the early 2000s. It was on primetime. It was a big deal. Everyone knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became a little bit sacred to me. It was my private time. It was the only time that I was allowed control of the TV, and that was to watch Grey's Anatomy. You'll learn during this podcast that my upbringing has been quite tumultuous. I moved out of home quite young, and I was lucky enough to move in with someone who had a Grey's Anatomy box set because, as we said before, Grey's Anatomy came off Australian TV. So this girl I was living with had this box set and it became this really cute thing where my household with five boy mechanics would all gather together every night to watch Grey's Anatomy. So
beautiful.
We watched a few seasons through there and then I just kind of kept up with it. I found all those streams online because we just didn't have it in Australia. You had to be a little bit of a pirate to find it. And then I broke my back and I spent 8 weeks bedridden and it took me 8 weeks to catch up. And I went from season one all the way back through to what it would have been season 16 at the time then. And I watched that all through my recovery, came back to work. And I haven't gotten off the roller coaster. So we started recording this podcast during COVID. We're from Melbourne, Australia, as you can tell by the silly accents. Do you want us to say it? I'll say it. No.
What?
Americans are just obsessed with Australian saying no at the moment. It's amazing.
Funny.
So we wanted to come on here and redo this because during lockdown, we couldn't get those good microphones. We couldn't just go to a store and buy them. And we also hadn't talked to other humans in a really long time. And we were so excited and such novices and just wanted to bring a little joy to our lives and to the lives of other Grey's listeners out there and try and find a community. And we're so happy that we did. But please know that our early seasons are not a reflection of what is to come.
Totally. But I mean, look, I still think they're fun episodes and we have a laugh and we get very surprised by realizing how different we think about situations and relationships and work and what it means to be human now than then. And I think my biggest joy of doing this podcast is those realizations and really, really getting into how we've grown and how we think. And look, it's a fun ride. But if you prefer listening to things with better audio quality, I would say, why not give one of our later seasons? We did just finish season 3 and season 19. So you can totally start with those if you are up to date with Grey's Anatomy. But if you want to watch from the start with us, we start at the pilot, we start at season 1, and we go all the way through to season 4, which is where we're at currently. But you might even be listening to this when we're at season 8. I don't know. But look, there's options. Start at the start of any season that we've done and I don't know, watch along, don't watch along.
Have a little appreciation. We were interns when we started this and we didn't have a Bailey. So give us the benefit of the doubt. We do get better.
We get better.
The puns do not get better. I warn you right now.
We get better. We get more cats.
We move houses 3 times. We have surgeries. And you guys get to join us for it all. You'll also get to be part of our great community that we've built over the last 2 years.
Yes.
And we can't wait to see you all there. So
also we do have a Patreon, Scalpels and Tequila, and we have a great Instagram account where everyone loves to chat and share stories and connect. And that is at Scalpels and Tequila.
You'll be able to find all of our links on that page as well. So if you want to shoot us an email or get in contact, you can do there. But please go ahead, listen at whatever season tickles your fancy, and we hope to see you next time.
We do still have our old pilot episode here if you want.
Good luck.
If you want.
Godspeed.
Bye-bye.
So you blew me off for a bottle of tequila. Tequila's no good for you. Doesn't call, doesn't write. It's not nearly as much fun to wake up to.
Hi, I am Tamsin.
And I'm Ayla, and this is Scalpels and Tequila,
the Grey's Anatomy recap podcast, where we will delve into the behind-the-scenes drama, the on-screen drama, the medicine,
as well as all the filth you've been looking for. We are going to have a recap of the most recent episode every Monday, starting at season 18, and every Friday we'll be starting from the beginning, the pilot season 1, episode 1, if you want to take this journey from internship all the way through to Chief of Surgery. Grey's Anatomy fangirls for the last 18 years. We've grown up with it, and now as two women in our early 30s, we have a lot to say about everything that's gone down over the years.
It is a long time that we have invested. I feel like I have so many thoughts and so many feelings about this show, and I really needed an outlet, and I really needed someone to talk to about it on a regular basis. And I honestly just don't know that many people who like Grey's Anatomy. I feel like I can count the amount of Grey's Anatomy fans I know on one hand.
Oh, well, you're my Grey's Anatomy fan.
They're so few and far between. And when I meet another one, it is so exciting and so heartwarming. And then I just talk to them about Grey's Anatomy for hours.
Well, that's how we first bonded.
Exactly.
Tamsin and I worked together at a rather famous restaurant in Melbourne that will go unnamed. And I had worked there for a little bit before, and then Tamsin joined the team. And my first thought was, holy Christ, this woman is beautiful. and then a little while later, we figured out we both really liked cats. So we're fitting those stereotypes perfectly. And Tamsin's cats have rather interesting names. And when I heard those names, I realized I might have a good friend.
Then we were off, I think. You heard that my cat is called Dr. McDreamy. And that's all you need to tell people and for you to realize if you have a fellow Grey's fan.
So I'm sure that no one listening right now knows us very well. That's actually probably a lie. The only people who will be listening to this at the very start will be people who knows us very well. But serious question time. When was your first time, Tamsin?
Well, I remember it so clearly. It was with my mum, my first time watching Grey's. I remember my mum had seen an ad for this show, probably in the Green Guide in the newspaper, that this brand new doctor's show was coming out. It's going to be on Sunday nights. And I don't know how old I would have been, late teens.
Oh, my mum's loved ER as well.
Exactly. Sexy Doctors, I think, is a mum's go-to show.
Correct.
Every Sunday night, we sat down together, watched Grey's Anatomy until I moved out of home. And then she stopped watching and I never did. I continued till this day. What about you, Ayla? How did you get into Grey's?
So my first time, my mother worked party plan. So she wasn't home very much, but my sister was home constantly and her entire life was the TV. And I remember this was the one time she'd made a friend and actually left the house. I had the TV all to myself and it was just this very precious bubble for all of us. Right now we're actually in quarantine in Melbourne, so we've been in our sixth quarantine. So you remember that first time you were just home alone? It was like, oh my god, I don't know what to do with myself. And then this TV show came on, and by the time everyone came home, I was ranting about how good this fucking TV show was, and no one would believe me. None of my friends were interested. So I think I watched the first like two or three seasons because that's when it was really popular in Australia. But I didn't actually get back into it until it was 2009.
So you had a break. You had a Grey's break.
Yeah, so I moved into this share house and there were seven people and we had no Wi-Fi. But the new housemate came and she had the Grey's Anatomy box set and I was like...
You're like, I'm home. My friends. My friends are
there. Yeah, but it was really funny because I lived with four mechanics, four boys and two girls. It was a very testosterone-y household, but it got to the point that one by one by one, all of these like greasy, bloody wrench monkeys end up coming in and getting like really involved in the Grey's Anatomy. We'd all sit down as a family and watch it every night together. And then I never stopped.
It's an addiction. It's a lifestyle. It's a friendship group. It's sticky. It sticks to you.
Yeah. I need everyone to know that we are two different levels of fans. Tamsin is the Grey's Anatomy walking encyclopedia. She has been on this religiously every week for the last 18 years, knows everything about all of the backstage stuff, whereas I enjoy this TV show. I have rewatched it in its entirety three times and multiple episodes here and there have watched again. So this is going to be a bit of a learning experience for me and finding out more about a TV show that I really enjoy and giving Tamsin a great opportunity to rant about something she's so passionate about.
That's really nice. There's so much I don't know. There's so much I don't understand. There's so many ins and outs and behind the scenes. I have so many unanswered questions. So this is definitely going to have spoilers now. If by any chance you are going to listen from the start and you've never seen it, for spoilers' sake, this is probably where you should say goodbye.
As the fan who loves all of them unconditionally, who is your least favorite character to have come out?
My answer might be controversial, but DeLuca.
Strong agree.
Great. Like, easy answer.
He is Indiana Jones in the second film. If he wasn't there, nothing would have changed.
Okay. So, who is your favorite couple of the show?
Arizona and Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. Well, I don't know. You might have said, like...
They were the first...
They were the first lesbian couple on primetime television to have proper lead roles where it wasn't about them, their whole story, their whole personality wasn't just... They are a lesbian.
And if you don't love Arizona, you have no place in this world.
She's an angel. Do you have a favorite sex scene?
Yes. Christina
and Burke?
No, Christina and Hunt.
Which Christina and Owen scene?
Yes, when he first walks in and staples his own leg and then pushes her up against a wall.
Oh, yeah. That is very hot.
And so I loved Hunt from a HBO show that came out. It's called Rome. And he was a Roman gladiator and he's very big. And he is British.
No, he's Scottish.
Point is, he sounds sexy as fuck in Rome.
I started on the show season 5. Yeah. the premiere episode of season 5, Owen Hunt showed up. And right around that time, we celebrated the 100th episode. And I remember that like it was yesterday.
Spicy.
I love that you love Owen, by the way, because a lot of people
don't. Love Owen.
That is another...
What?
Yeah. Yep. A lot of people hate the character of Owen Hunt. It's like on forums and stuff. I have no idea. I mean, he does have some... The shit he pulls about Christina having an abortion, I cannot get on board with.
Strong agree. And he does get a little whiny man-child-y.
He does.
For about a season.
Yeah.
And put your big boy pants on, bro. If you could date a Grey's Anatomy character, who would you date?
Oh, Mark. I love Mark.
Really?
I want to be Lexi in the scene where she rips off her clothes and says, teach me.
I'm your teacher.
So, teach me.
Oh, Lexi.
Teach me.
Did everyone else's uterus just flutter a little?
I find him so insanely attractive. I don't know.
No, Owen Hunt's my boy. Yes. He's so big.
I love that you said that. I know so many people. I have 3 Grey's Anatomy friends. I just feel like I've fought for Owen Hunt in a lot of conversations.
No, I got him. He's just, for context sake, I'm a very, very proudly chunky lady. Didn't say I wasn't stunning, chunky. So I like my boys bigger than me. And he is a big boy.
Yep. And you know he could throw you against a wall.
Yes.
But also Callie. I do have to say, I would also date Callie. Okay.
All right, so this is where we finish our podcast. I'm going to need to go have a shower.
What is the biggest reaction the show has ever elicited? Like, do you remember watching something and having such a visceral, huge reaction of some description? Anger or tears or... laughter or needing to take a cold shower? Is there a scene that... See, for me, when Derek died, I threw my laptop across the room. I just was mad. I was mad at the show. I was mad that he could have saved himself because he had a brain injury. Yeah, I was angry.
That's actually it.
I
remember I was mad that it took 2 episodes of him helping this house out and being heroic. And then someone gets hit by a truck again. I was like, no.
Furious.
What was I holding? I don't remember, but it hit the wall.
What other episodes are you really excited to talk about? What are some of your favorites? Like, are you more like into the funny ones or the social justice ones or the sad ones? I'm also really excited to talk about the musical episode because I know it is so divisive. What do you think of the musical episode?
Well, I think you may be on the other side of the fence to me. I hate it with a fiery passion. And
I love it.
It's the worst. I love it. It's like I really enjoy... There was an episode where it was like fictional futures that could have been, where all the characters end up falling in love with the person they're in love with now and stuff anyway.
Well, that's so interesting that you bring that up because that is... one of my least favorite episodes.
Really?
Yeah. I love these characters so much. I actually want to know what's happening in their lives. So you give me a fake episode that doesn't actually draw the storyline forward in any way. I'm just going to be a bit pissed off, honestly. I'm just going to be like, I've waited a week to know what's happening with these guys today. And you're not giving me what I want. You're giving me a
excuse me. But you get 6 months off. You need to give me full-fledged content every week. When it first started, all the characters in the show were quite young. So the first like 5 or 6 episodes, seasons, are really fun and they're running around doing stupid shit and there's a lot more sort of comedy and banter in it. And now at season 18, the characters are all quite a lot older. They're all adults. And it kind of makes me feel like it's setting me up for the rest of my life where everything starts getting more serious and less fun now. So the earlier seasons definitely hold a big place in my heart. I'd say like 3rd generation cast is probably my favorite. But the ones that I'm really, the episodes that I'm really looking forward to, like just... Denny's entire season.
You're really looking forward to that.
It is the best of everything. It is the funniest season. It has the most drama. It has a lot of suspense. And the tears. Like, I know I'm going to be bawling my eyes out at the end of that season.
I can watch, you know, I can watch George die. Spoilers. I said there was going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
I can watch that time and time again, and I still have the same emotional responses.
Immediately.
It's how deeply this show affects you. And honestly, I do care. I care about all of them. But the Denny storyline is definitely not my favorite. But crying on the bathroom floor in the pink ball gown will attack my heart so furiously.
Yeah.
And that song that is now synonymous with Grey's Anatomy and that particular scene. It's really amazing how the music has become so connected to this show.
That song in particular, I don't think, have they written anything else?
I've no idea. Like, they were pretty big when that album came out.
Yeah. But
then I think being on the show in that particular scene, just that's the be-all and end-all of that band now. I feel like that's what they're going to be known for. This show is going to have a lasting impact than that band. I don't even remember what they're called. I know the song's called Chasing Cars. Snow Patrol,
that's right. I think that people will look back on Grey's Anatomy and Shonda Rhimes' work as a whole, being a woman of colour in such a successful role was pretty unheard of in being a recognised woman of colour was pretty unheard of when this show came out. And it's still reasonably unheard of. And what she's done with that platform.
Yeah, her platform is so huge and she is so celebrated for that, which is great. I'm glad that that's, you know, she is known for all of these groundbreaking work that she's done. And now she has so many shows under her belt. She has a huge Netflix deal. She's getting the acclaim that she deserved. And I'm so glad that Grey's Anatomy was the starting point for her, because I think it is a really important show.
There's a lot of TV shows from the early thousands specifically, because that's what we grew up with. We were teenagers then. So a lot of TV shows that come out, then you try and go back and rewatch and you end up sitting there going, oh, it's a little bit sus, but it's definitely a product of its time. Whereas I think people are going to look back at Grey's Anatomy in 10, 20 years and look back at it and go, wow, this is a product of its time in that it actually speaks about issues that the people or that society is facing.
Grey's Anatomy definitely was breaking a lot of ground.
Yeah. It took a couple of seasons for its popularity to get big enough that they were able to do it. But the second they were able to do it, they just came out swinging.
Definitely. I mean, I think the first thing that they did that was really big that from the beginning was have Chief Webber and Dr. Bailey. So you have two black characters as the bosses.
They are held in the highest regard out of any characters in the entire show. Webber is basically...
he's God of the hospital, like
Morgan Freeman, God of the hospital. And Bailey is absolutely the Madonna.
The characters that we see now are a lot older than when they started. It's less them getting drunk and dancing in their underwear in the lounge room. And it's a lot more about kids and family issues when they're outside of the hospital. There's this one episode that felt like such a breath of fresh air and kind of reminded me of the feelings of the original seasons. Is that episode where they all get stoned?
Agreed.
That episode, I laughed so hard watching that. And I was not expecting
just Dr.
It.
Bailey pouring at the air. I lost my shit. That was hilarious. I love that episode
so much. It was so needed, this cleansing, funny, completely out of the box. That made me so happy.
Do you think that they stopped writing in? So, yeah, they'll be young and they partied, but 90% of the time when the characters were getting drunk, it was often used as a coping mechanism for bad things that happen. Gray and Christina had two. It was either dance it out or it was get wasted on tequila. Yeah. And we even saw last season Gray and Alex sitting at the foot of her bed, not speaking and just sharing a bottle of tequila. As we've said previously, you know, Shonda's written about a whole lot of different issues, and the way that we saw things 2-3 years ago is quite a lot different to how we see them now and the way that the world's worked. So maybe it's a bit of that, in that she's looking back and seeing a sense of responsibility going, oh, I'm showing these doctors using binging on alcohol as a coping mechanism, and they're all still good and have successful lives. Maybe we should change the narrative of that, because in the later seasons, characters have gone to therapy and stuff as well.
Alcoholism is really explored through
various
characters and drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, potentially they've just seen that as something they can explore in a way that isn't just young people getting drunk. But I also think it's just people's lives, you know, the standard person when they're starting their new job. Because I feel like the intern year really feels a lot like early university. I feel like that's kind of the vibe of the show. It's like an early or like a uni party mode, even though they are a lot older, but that's because they went to medical school. So it makes sense.
That's the thing. They went to medical school, but they don't have... I have a friend who's a doctor now. I met them recently, and I remember talking to her about her experience with it. And she was like, everyone who gets out of medical school is a child. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, we have our head down, ass up all through high school just to make these grades. So most of us didn't socialize that much, didn't have too many friends, and didn't have a lot of experiences. At 18, you jump directly into university where you're doing exactly the same thing. The only people that you're really socializing with are other people who are doing medicine, and it's all you talk about. So you graduate, you get out, you're supposed to be a real human, you're supposed to be able to communicate and empathize with other people, even though you've never had any real world reaction. So suddenly you get to a hospital and there are people who've been there a long time, so they find it more casual. And you end up going out and doing all your drinking and you're partying when you're 5 years older than everyone else who did it. So I see that a lot reflected in the show.
The show is so true to the real life of what it would be to be a doctor.
Aside from sex in elevators. That doesn't happen as much.
Who knows? We don't know. I like to pretend that that's all real. I like to pretend that on-call
room is
a fun place.
So I'm very clumsy. And I end up in hospital a lot, which means that I'm constantly around people in hospitals saying things like, oh, it's all right, I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
I say it so often. I say it so often. It's ridiculous. I just, when you feel like you know about an illness or you feel like you understand the procedure that they're doing in surgery.
Amount of trivia questions I've gotten thanks to Grey's Anatomy, it's like, that's yes, amazing. I know what that is.
I feel like I would be really good in a medical trivia situation as well, but I don't know, I don't really do trivia very much. So I have a little Grey's Anatomy question that I believe only true fans know the answer to. Do you know who Boki is?
I aspire to have eyebrows that spicy. Well, something that does bother me a little bit about Grey's Anatomy, when they want to introduce a new romantic lead, it's like Ben, for instance, he suddenly just starts getting real sassy in the middle of one of Bailey's surgeries. It's like, yeah, I've been working at this hospital for 14 years. It's like, okay, Ben, how come we've never seen you before, Ben? Are you this sassy with the male doctors? Pipe down, Chachi.
Exactly. I can't wait to explore Ben and Bailey's relationship with you, because it is interesting. I love it. I'm here for it. But just for when they have a sexy character, they make it very known that they know they are writing for a sexy character. And those characters are not created equal in the Grey's Anatomy world. So to have a new character that, like Ben, with everything he brings to that role in his beauty and strength and sass to strut into this hospital, even though he's been there for 14 years or whatever, and be like, that woman there is the hottest thing I have ever seen. I must take her now.
It's the fact that he's first introduced
I just don't know where
sassing
that
her
from.
While she's on a step stool. No one is sexy on a step stool. Strangest relationship the two of them have.
But it's beautiful. The way he looks at her is magical.
I was actually thinking about that. It's his body posture. Like, he does this incredible thing when he's lusting for her, where the entire, because she's so small, the entire top half of his body and his shoulders start aiming towards her and his forearms come in front of his.
It's like he completely envelops her.
It's like, I want this one.
Special. It's really special. I know.
It's keeping his pocket all day.
And then she treats him. Sorry, Bailey. I love you, Bailey. But God, you treat Ben like shit
Thank
sometimes.
Thank you. I just remembered Izzy getting frisky with Ghost Denny.
I want to take that out of my brain. I hate Ghost Denny.
It's
what
so
a ridiculous
weird.
What a and because I know that they only did that because Denny, like him as an actor, was just pulling such good rankings and people loved him and wanted him in the show more, and they had already killed him off, so they were like, fuck, how do we put him back in? He's gonna be a ghost hallucination. I love the medical storyline with Teddy's husband, the patient Henry. That episode where Christina can't save his life while Teddy is in a different surgery, I find really heartbreaking and really, I don't know why, I really love the way that was written, when then Christina has to basically follow Teddy around and tell her all of the steps that she did in that OR to try and save Henry when Henry died, and that kind of torture that Teddy is
put herself and Yang through.
And herself, yeah.
When we brought your husband into the OR, we originally thought we could go in with a bronchoscope and a laser.
That sits, I don't know, somewhere in me, that scene with those two women.
That was a really, really hard episode, actually.
Really, really hard.
Do you know one of my favorite moments in Grey's Anatomy was? Where it's when they're all still quite young and they're living at Meredith's house and it's Christmas. And George comes home and sees Izzy lying on her back underneath the Christmas tree looking up. And then all of them come in and do it. And now it's something that I do every Christmas and have been known to do it in shopping centers under the particularly large trees.
Oh, I love that scene too.
With Owen Hunt's character, it was the first male character that I've ever seen their mental health taken into accord or really explained. And throughout the show, they do go into the mental health of a lot of men, and it's something that is very much hidden from the world and seen as a sign of weakness. But she writes these incredibly strong men, because all of them are. Having emotions and dealing with emotions and learning to present them in healthy ways. And I think
that's a really good point. You even see that in a completely different way when George visits his family, because he's so bullied and picked on by this so-called masculine brothers and his masculine dad. And they really pick on him, but then he is a surgeon and he has his own incredible strengths that they don't understand. And
yeah.
I think that impacts his mental health so much. I mean, we see it. He ends up joining the army. I think as much as that isn't as explored as Hunt's mental health, I think that is another storyline that is really beautifully written into the show in that same way of like what it is to be masculine, what it is to be manly.
So I've just done a Google, and to get the entire way through Grey's Anatomy would be 272 hours and 33 minutes. That is 22 days of Grey's Anatomy. You could sit and not do anything but watch Grey's Anatomy, and it would take you 22 days to get through.
And what an amazing 22 days that would be.
Mm-hmm.
What a great use of your time.
Such a
good use
of your
time. You would learn so much about yourself. You would cry. You would laugh. You'd know how to cut an LVAD wire, how to remove your own spleen.
You would know how to attach an IV because you haven't gotten up to get any fluids. I can't believe that from the original season, we only have Grey, Meredith, Webber,
and
Bailey.
Bailey.
That is both. All. That's all. If she's not back in season 18, oh, that's it. That's all we've got.
She'll be there. She's actually on Cameo. If this podcast goes well, I'm going to get a Boki cameo for us.
Grey's Anatomy is not only a show about personal relationships, drama, and bumping uglies in the on-call room. Grey's Anatomy is also a show about medicine. And if there are any episodes that particularly stand out to us or any cases that come up, we'll be sure to chat about those as well, because what cases on Grey's Anatomy are based on real-life medical marvels.
And as much as we feel like we are doctors because we watch this show so much, we are not. And I do want to know if a fish can swim up someone's penis.
It absolutely can. I've seen one on YouTube being removed.
Oh.
So that is Scalpels and Tequila. We look forward to having you. We hope that you don't get any fishes in your penis and enjoy hearing us rant about what is one of the most culturally significant TV shows to come out in the last 20 years.
Bye.
The vagina.
Sing it.
The vagina. Vagina.